Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Esprit.net News.
I want to get the language right tonight.
This is America. The president is
don't ever let anybody tell you that your efforts don't matter.
This is not a war zone. These are unarmed people.
Politicians and commentators.
Let anybody take your man.
Did I remind you that I've done this before?
It doesn't make you tough to hurt these people.
You have tuned into Independent Thought Radio, where we cover world and national news with current affairs. Some good, some bad, but it's all the news you need to know. I'm your host, Jerome Esprit, bringing you straight talk outside the headlines. So sit back and relax, call in, or hit us up in chat. Now, as long as you're ready, we're ready.
Welcome again to Esprit.net News. On Esprit Radio, you know, we're on the Ask Kathleen Network today. You can call in and join us at 909-265-9189. There is a bunch of stuff in the news, so everyone who's on the line, I just want to say hey, and always hit one if you want me to bring in. I won't bring in if you don't want to come in. On this program, the Obama administration spread and preserved communications between Trump and Russian Trump associates and Russians. It's an interesting story. I want to talk about that. The TSA finds record-breaking number of firearms inside carry-on bags. So please remember, don't put no firearms in carry-ons. Now, Pepsi is firing dozens of workers in the Philadelphia area as the city passes its soda tax, and a massive tsunami of sewage in Tijuana flow down the Tijuana River that fouled San Diego beaches. They figure it may have been deliberately released. And Egyptian former president Mubarak is acquitted and on his 2011 charges of killing civilians. He's acquitted from that. Now, if you know, that's where their Arab Spring came from. All right, we have that this weekend in court and much more. I want to welcome you onto the show. This is Esprit.net News. Remember, if you have any news or information, you can always email us at news@soulofsyracuse.com or actually kind of hit us up in the chat room, and we'll put some news out there as well. So I just wanted to welcome you onto the show again. And if you missed some of the shows in the archives, you can always go to espritradio.soulofsyracuse.com and check us out in the archives. Or go on BTR, go on Blog Talk Radio. Have a ton out there as well. Now, our first story, the U.S. Dow Jones Stock Index has closed at a record high for 12 straight days. On the 13th, it went down. But here's the thing. It was the longest a winning streak for the shares index since January of 1987. Now, the Dow in 1987 closed at a record high for 13 straight sessions in a row in January 1987, and then 9 months before our Black Monday. That was 9 months before our Black Monday crash in 1987. So just because you see the stocks going up really well, when they go up that much in a row, we usually have a crash. It didn't happen, but it's the longest since 1987. It didn't break the 1987 record, so I'm not going to be superstitious and cross my fingers and say anything about that. Now, the U.S. Justice Department has dropped its longstanding opposition to a key aspect of the Texas voter ID law. Now, it said that it would no longer argue the law passed in 2011 that was intended to discriminate against minorities, but it did not withdraw altogether from the lawsuit that argues that the law had discriminatory effects. Now, the law required voters to show only certain forms of ID, including gun permits, but unlike in other states, college IDs weren't acceptable. So last year, a federal appeals court ruled that the law had been had discriminatory effects. It said this was because the form of ID required suited Republican-leaning white voters and excluded forms of IDs that were more likely to be used by minorities and Democratic-leaning younger voters. Now, in January, the U.S. Supreme Court rejected a Texas appeal that sought to restore the law. So the new position of the Justice Department, which was announced ahead of Tuesday's court hearing in Corpus Christi, Texas, where the intent aspect of the law was to be examined, the change in the Justice Department position means that it will no longer support the civil rights groups who are contesting the law. It is still being fought in court, but the Justice Department isn't helping anymore. The Justice Department is still saying it's discriminatory, but they don't believe in the intent aspect. That's what we get for having a new administration. All right, now, just in case you didn't see through all of that, if you have a gun permit, you can vote. If you have college ID, you can't vote. That's what the main point of that story was. Now, a huge cocaine bust of 4.2 tons of drugs worth $125 million is found on a fishing boat in the biggest Atlantic Ocean haul in nearly 20 years. Now, the U.S. Coast Guard seized the 4.2 tons of cocaine, and they're saying it's their largest maritime bust since 1999. And it's estimated, again, at $125 million. They didn't say what they're going to do with it, but that's what happened. Now, Starbucks is to open in Italy after 35 years. That's what the CEO, Howard Schultz, you know, believes the chain is finally has enough respect to compete in the home of the espresso. So if you don't know, espressos come from Italy. And so the CEO said that the company was ready to enter Italy in 2018. After more than three decades, the coffee chain has grown to about 26,000 stores in 75 countries, but they stayed out of Italy. You know, that just kind of reminds me when you want good barbecue, there's some places you just don't go. Just thought I'd throw that in there. Now, a Tibetan woman's football team, or it's actually soccer for us in the United States, has claimed that they have been denied entry into the United States. Their United States visa was they've been restricted because they wanted to take part in a tournament in Texas. I know I'm stumbling over this, but they were applying for visas, and they said that they were told that they had no good reason to visit the U.S. Now, most of the players and the Tibetan refugees live in India and had applied at the U.S. Embassy in Delhi, and Tibet, if you don't know, is a remote, mainly Buddhist territory known kind of as the roof of the world. I don't know why they're called that, but it's governed by an autonomous region in China. So they had to go to the U.S. Embassy and get into the United States, and now the U.S. Embassy is saying that's not a good reason just to go to a tournament. They've been here before, but the new administration won't let somebody play soccer. Now, none of them are on terrorist lists, by the way. China isn't on the terrorist list, and India is not on a terrorist list, but they won't let them come in to play soccer. All right, that's the world we live in. Now, officials from the Obama administration raced to spread and preserve communications between Trump associates and Russians. Now, the White House officials took efforts in the closing days of the Obama administration to analyze and to spread information about Russian election interference, driven by a concern that the material might get buried under the Trump administration. That's according to reports. Now, intelligence agencies rushed to analyze raw intelligence materials about Russia, about the Russian connections, going over months-old information as to intent and possible motives of what the agency says is Russian election hacking as it emerged. You know, the New York Times has done has reported on this story. Now, the White House officials made efforts to ask specific questions at intelligence briefings as a way to get information onto the record and to be archived for examination later. Now, the House and Senate intelligence committees are probing a possible Russian interference, which we all know it is, according to that report by the New York Times. As the inauguration approached, the White House aides grew convinced that the intelligence was damning and that they needed to ensure that as many people as possible inside the government could see it. And the paper, the New York Times reported also that the motives of the White House officials were to ensure that such meddling isn't duplicated in future American or European elections and to leave a clear trail of intelligence for government investigators. You know, I had a conversation about this earlier, and the main part of this story means this. There is no kind of leaking of information, per se, from the Obama administration, just in case you need to know. But what they did is they put some things on the record so that if anybody goes and looks in the archives, then you'll be able to find the information. Somebody wouldn't just take the pile of information and put it in a trash can and burn it. So nothing illegal happened. I know there's probably going to be complaints, but it's perfectly legit. It's what you do in countries where you think you're going to have a military coup. You hide all of the information in the departments so that you have a trail. So, hey, shouldn't be recording in the White House if you didn't want to know this information. So they made sure they went on the record to say what they already know. And as you can see, as a result, during the same time, we have the Attorney General Sessions recusing himself from an investigation because I guess the information came out that he met with Russians during the campaign at least two occasions. There you have it. All right, you're listening to Esprinet News. You can call in and join us, 909-265-9189, or hit 1 on your line. If this is your first time here, you know, we're just a weekly news summary wrap-up show. So if you want to call in and join us, hey, you can comment on some of the stories that we're talking about now, or you can bring a story in. There's some things that, I don't find that interesting to, you know, for me to talk about, but I do give you news that you need to know. Thank you, Miss Abreu, for that line. Hey, just want to shout out to my girl Lucy Sanchez Abreu. All right, now Mexico's richest man, Carlos Slim, has been he has seen his personal fortune shrink by about $16 billion because of the Trump rise to power. It has affected the Mexican currency. So again, he's Mexico's richest man, and I think he actually owns telecommunications, but, you know, we have a lot of industries in the United States that are Mexican-owned now. Nabisco, for example. As I sit here eating, you know, whether it's Chips Ahoy or Oreos or vanilla wafer or Fig Newtons, those are all owned by a Mexican company. But, you know, there we go, making noise. Now, speaking of Mexico, a tsunami of raw sewage, which caused havoc in Southern California last month, may have been deliberately released by someone in Mexico. Now, more than 143 million gallons of raw sewage has spilled into the Tijuana River in Mexico, crossing the border that flows into the Pacific Ocean near San Diego on the California side. Now, the tide, the tidal wave of stuff, is what I like to call it, began on February 2nd and only stopped last week. An International Boundary and Water Commission said that the tsunami stopped when a major pipe near the near Tijuana and Alomar rivers have been fixed. Now, San Diego County beaches were already off limits to swimmers and surfers because there was a lot of runoff from the recent storm. So apparently, even though the beaches were pretty nasty, they had already closed them in advance. So I have no pictures or stories about this, but I just want to say they know from the Mexican officials, they're thinking that it was pretty much deliberate that they released the sewage into the river. I don't want to say, I don't want to bring up Donald Trump in the middle of this, but I know I just did a Donald Trump story. Stop playing with Mexico. On that note, let's go to the line and bring in Kathleen. Hey, Kathleen, how are you? I didn't mean to bring you in on the sewage story.
I was eating when you started the sewage story, and I was like, oh, joy.
Yeah, you should have just got off the line right then. Let me get back
suddenly
on mute.
My food didn't taste so good.
Oh, my fault. All right. Right. I'll do two really quick stories. Ben Carson got confirmed, and Rick Perry got confirmed. So there's two seats, cabinet seats left in those folks' administration. All right, so I got past that other story. How about that? I didn't make it any better. That was still kind of a sewage story in a way.
The story might have been better. I'm really not having an appetite.
My fault. I just thought about this. Rick Perry is the Department of Energy, and Ben Carson is U.S. Housing and Urban Development, or HUD.
Oh,
yeah, those stories didn't get any better, did they?
No.
Okay. Well, I guess I didn't try. Let me try that next time. I was gonna say I tried, but I guess that wasn't trying hard, was it? Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was just the next story on the list. That's all that was.
Okay.
Now, all right. Now, which one did I miss? You know, I thought about you and Ronnie. You know, on Ask Kathleen Network, that there was no Oscar show. I knew you would probably want to talk about the Oscars, but I figured when you called in, we will save some time in the show just in case you want to kind of dive into the Oscar stuff.
Okay. I didn't watch it, actually.
You didn't?
Mm-mm.
You know, I was forced to watch it, but I'll talk about that later. I wasn't home, so I couldn't turn the television. it was on. Yeah. Usually
that's
there's
fun.
No Oscars for me either. All right, now the federal agencies, the federal government, current and former top legal muscle this week helped HSBC Bank try to avoid scrutiny in its compliance to a $1.92 billion money laundering settlement because of their misconduct involving drug cartels. So the federal government, the new administration, is helping HSBC Bank try to avoid complying with the settlement of $1.9 billion. After all this other stuff that's going on in the news, yes. I know I need to slow that down. In all the other stuff that the Trump administration is doing, they are now helping HSBC avoid scrutiny of its compliance of that $1.92 billion money laundering settlement. They were stashing money off-seas and offshore accounts for drug cartels. So they got fined, and they settled for $1.9 billion during the Obama administration. Now the current administration is trying to help them avoid compliance.
They can do that?
I think they're just in court to I guess you know how you go in when you have a settlement agreement and they signed off on it and they just didn't have their final hearings on it, and now they're trying to pull back, I guess, the actual amount. So the federal government said, okay, 1.9, fine, we'll settle for that, and now the new administration is saying, well, maybe not 1.9, maybe 0.3. Yeah, nice, right? All right. Now, the desert city of El Centro in Southern California has paid the largest police misconduct settlement in the history of the Southern District of California. They're paying $4.1 million to a family of Charlie Sampson, a man who was denied medical attention during an overdose. It doesn't say drugs. during an overdose while in police custody, and he died as a result. So we're not going to play a game of black or white on this, but he received $4.1 million in the settlement.
Wow.
Because they didn't help him. Yeah. I think this would be one of those cases that we would have to play that game with.
Right.
Yeah. Now, the Egyptian top court issued a final ruling on Thursday that effectively acquits former President Hosni Mubarak on charges of killing protesters during a 2011 uprising that ended his nearly decades in office. So after all of that whole little Arab Spring stuff, they figured out that the final court case said, oh, he wasn't guilty of that. I think that was foreign governments, and I won't say that ours wasn't involved in that. But, you know, when people start stirring stuff up in other countries and they, you know, finally went to court and they were like, oh, he had nothing to do with that. All right. Now, that kind of reminds me of, before I do that, the Bridgegate scandal, because that's still out there. The Bridgegate mm-hmm. scandal, where the two people were convicted of causing a New Jersey traffic jam to retaliate against the political enemies of Governor Chris Christie. Those guys fail to secure acquittals or retrials. So they keep trying to go back to court, and the judge ruled today no dice. So you cannot, they're not letting them get a retrial.
You mean the ones that were, the ones that they, that went to jail, they're trying to get a new trial for them?
Yeah, yes. What's the name? Kelly and, I forgot the guy's name. Something Kelly and the two aides that work for Chris Christie. Now, Chris Christie, still the ruling last week on him or the week before was that he must still stand. They can press charges and bring charges against him. He is still sitting governor at New Jersey, but the Court of Appeals did rule that he can have charges brought up against him as well.
But I thought they said they weren't going to.
That was initially. They said that they weren't going to prosecute him for a certain aspect, but he can have charges brought up on other things, right? Just kind of the tampering stuff. Kind of like, again, the Nixon thing, right? For trying to suppress or lying or perjury. I think they're trying to bring other charges against him. So a judge did rule that they can bring charges against him in a case related to Bridgegate.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Well,
now the
time I've been waiting for somebody to have some guts in this thing. Jeez, please,
yeah. It's funny who people who get let off of charges and the people who are like charged. Because again, just like what's going on with Sessions, and if you don't know, the Attorney General Sessions has recused himself from the investigation of the Russian hacks and the Russian involvement with the Trump campaign during election season. But he was one of the people who kept yelling, lock her up, during the Hillary situation, saying that they were covering up for Hillary. And now we're
uh-huh.
watching a massive cover-up, because Hillary has never been even – nobody's ever had any kind of statements about her perjuring herself or misleading or anything. They just didn't have that. They just kept saying, we need to see all of the emails. But they never said that she went and lied, where this guy actually said, oh, I don't recall, or I may have, and sometimes that happens. And these guys are flat lying, but the uproar for this is just not there. And, you know, with Vice President Pence did the same thing, and he had a private server while he was governor. And now the White House has a private server that's the RNC's server. So all of that, Hillary Clinton has a server and has some emails on there. These guys are literally still using private servers right now, and nobody's saying a word. It is amazing. So we spent almost 2 years with Benghazi and private servers Trump gets in office for less than 30 days, kills some people in kills somebody in Yemen, and now they're like it didn't happen. We did Benghazi for like 2 years. Okay. And Benghazi wasn't even like the Secretary of State called or the president. The president called that Yemen attack, and it was botched. All right. Now, Sweden's left-leaning government reintroduced a military draft for both men and women because their defense minister called the deteriorating security environment in Europe and around Sweden. So everybody's beefing up military because they don't feel like the United States is looking out anymore. But they're probably going to reinstitute the draft. Haven't had it in 12 years, I think it was.
Wow.
But, yeah, they're like, we are really going to have to, like, load up on this. Yeah. Now,
isn't that something? Because they think that we're told just off the charts, off the rails. Well, it's not we are, but you know who.
Yeah. We are, it is, the hypocrisy is just crazy, right? Because it's going to seem like everything is, you can do this, but they can't, and we need to do this. And now our allies are trying to protect themselves, but then when we need them, we're going to call them and say, hey, remember that time we helped you out? You're going to sound like that commercial, like you're your mother's favorite child. It's like, not cool.
Uh-huh.
That's what they're going to do to us. U.S. is going to call them. They're going to be like, not cool. All right. Now, on the same morning that Democratic leaders in the Senate confirmed that Israel has a clandestine nuclear program that nobody knew about, a federal judge rejected the person's attempt to block the U.S. from giving Israel aid on that basis. Now, if you haven't heard me, we are now yelling at Iran about nuclear programs that we think they may have. We found that Israel, who's an ally, has a secret nuclear program that we have proof of, and we still give them like $300 billion a year. I think it's $30 billion. We gave them $300 million last time around, but I think we give them like $30 billion. And we can't even stop that. So somebody in the Senate went to try to stop the payments to Israel because of their illegal plan. And the judge said we can't block the money. All right, just thought I'd put that out there. Now, if you know the song, Whippin' Nene song, the rapper Stiletto, he's stranded in the United Arab Emirates, I think is how you call it, the UAE, after the court seized his passport over concert no-shows. Now, a travel ban was imposed on him.
They can
for
do that?
Yeah, 2015, he had a couple of contracts, and on February, like, 20th, he goes there, and they took his passport and detained him because he failed to appear in two shows and for which he was contracted. So he took the money, so they're holding him till he goes to court. Now, again, people, when you go to foreign countries, they're just not going to let you go. Yes. That happens quite a bit. Remember the story that I did about the former CIA, the Bush administration woman, when they snatched somebody during the 9/11 with the enhanced interrogation, and she got arrested? And she's in Spain,
yeah.
I think it is, and they're extraditing her to another allied country, but she's going to go to jail. There are still international warrants out for, you know, some of the Bush administration, George W. Bush, and I think Dick Cheney, and Donald Rumsfeld. I think they have international warrants. So every time, and it's amazing that George Bush is so much on the news these last days. Donald Trump is making him look like a hero. So he's coming out, but he still can't travel internationally. I think last time he went to Canada, he did ask permission to make sure that they weren't going to arrest him when he got there. But, yeah, there are international warrants because they broke international law and act like it was okay. So we're going to see how Trump does this when he gets out, because I think he likes to travel. He's going to have problems. All right. Now,
wow.
Pepsi is firing dozens of workers in Philadelphia in the Philadelphia area after the city passed a soda tax, which has slashed the company's sales. Now, the move has been branded as a new low for the industry by the city, because the city is pissed that they're doing that, right? You're losing employees, which Pepsi, they're accusing Pepsi of holding hostage the jobs of hardworking people. But you want them to sell less soda. I don't know. I'm kind of torn in this one because I drink Pepsi, so I can't really. I'm going to have to. What did Sessions just do? I'm going to have to recuse myself from this one. Yes. In a Pepsi story, I'll let you handle this one if you have anything to say about it. But I have to recuse myself from it.
I got it.
All right. Now, Europeans have brought a deadly stomach bacteria to the Americans 500 years ago, and it's still making people sick, according to a new study. Now, Europeans brought over diseases including measles, smallpox, cholera, and as well. But a new study suggests that these diseases may not be the only harmful ones that Europeans brought with them. So researchers have discovered that Europeans also brought a harmful stomach bacteria that contributes to ulcers and stomach cancer, much of which is still present in Latin America today. So scientists from the Karolinska Institute in Sweden and the National Institute of Infectious Diseases in Japan analyzed, I won't tell you, in case you're looking this stuff up, 401H genome sequence from the strain collected in North Central and South America, and the distinct new bacteria subpopulations have formed in Colombia from European sources, in Nicaragua and the U.S. and African sources. But they're saying African bacteria is lasting longer, but now it's a combination of European and African bacteria as well. And they said that the Native American bacteria is pretty much disappearing. I didn't understand how that was working, but they were just saying that just the presence of the genome sequence for bacteria that's in Native Americans is pretty much disappearing. I guess it's being eaten up by something else. But anyway, I'm not just doing a story. Go look it up. Now, here's the thing. Spain has created a new position to help more people get pregnant. It's with a sex czar appointed to reverse the country's population process crisis. Now, Spain last year recorded a low number of births and deaths for the first time since the early 1940s. The demographic expert is also tasked with reversing a trend that has sent births in the country below 18% since 2008. So local reports that the number of childless couples have tripled to 1.5 million to 4.4 million between 1977 and 2015. So Spain's fertility rate is 1.32 children in 2014. That's among the lowest in Europe. So if
really?
You remember, in a past show several months back, Italy doubled the amount of social services money just so that people can have more kids because they are having a negative birth rate as well. So Spain is doing something about it. All right, Pastor, you're going to have to cover your ears on the next one because this still has to do with Spain, but I'm going to have to roll through this one pretty good. All right, so Europe, I'm going to put you on mute on this one because I'm feeling some kind of way about doing this while you're here. I should have kept you on mute till I got past the section. But anyway, since it was with Spain and their falling birth rate, it just kind of stories were sequenced that way. Now, Europe's first brothel where customers pay $120 an hour for high-tech dolls open in Spain. There's a new club in Barcelona that claims to be Europe's first to offer clients a chance to have a sex doll. Now, this seems kind of nuts because they're having population issues, but similar dolls are already in Japan and Malaysia. So according to the website, it's like something for couples or something, but I don't have anything else on that story. But I thought you guys might not want to start having some high-tech doll industry while you're still having problems with fertility. That's just my thing. Just thought I'd share. Now, dental assistant Mary Debbie Fletcher, 42, was arrested and charged with rape on Tuesday after police received complaints that she had contact with three students at her Mount Shasta High School football team in California. Now, an investigation into the allegations were launched after police first received complaints in September. The exact age of the students have not been disclosed, but authorities found that Fletcher had slept with the students in different parts of the county for a period of several weeks before police received the initial complaints. Also in our teacher news, a teacher 44, another one, slept with three of her male students. She spared jail and won't have to register as a sex offender. So the high school teacher in Georgia is accused of sleeping with three of her male students, has accepted a plea bargain, which means she will do no jail time. Thank you very much. I should save this for black and white. Now, a professor is jailed for 6 years for using Emory University's Wi-Fi to download 8,000 images of porn. Now, this guy, Kevin Sullivan of Atlanta, tried to cover his tracks by using his personal computer on a college internet system to gain access to a banned pornography site in Switzerland. Now, I don't know if it's banned in Switzerland, but never mind. All right, but just wanted to say that for the record. Just had to get past those stories. We're back to regular news, Kathleen. You can join me now. Now, I didn't put you on mute, but I know, you know, kind of little self mute on that was gonna work because I had to get
past. I didn't say a word. So.
I know you didn't, but
yep.
You know, see, I used to get those complaints like while I was having conversations that I'm seeing that this is really common in this country, that you have teachers sleeping with kids, and one woman's 44, the other one's 42. You have them in their 30s, even in their late 20s. This is common, but since you don't see it on mainstream media news, every now and then I feel compelled that I still need to do stories because I see them so much. I think we're doing a disservice by acting like it don't exist. And if they looked like me, it would exist. We would see that all over the
news.
That's
true.
All right. Now, I don't know if you remember. It turns out that one of Prince's most famous stage outfits wasn't quite as revealing as everyone thought. Now, in 1991, Prince performed at the MTV Video Music Awards with this yellow suit, and it had the back out. Do you remember that? He turned around and I was thinking that everybody knows that story, right? And Living Color did a parody, and you know, other people have done parodies of it. And in an interview this week, a Minneapolis-based master fabric designer, I guess is Marlis Jensen, revealed that Prince was more modest than we thought. She personally customized and dyed the suit, which includes a flesh color panels to cover his butt. She said, "I never met him," which is kind of odd because many times I had to dye fabric to the color of his flesh. They used the lining for like lace garments and pockets and things like that, and that yellow suit. His butt suit did not show his butt. That was fabric. She said that she's been amused that fans and media never figured it out. Now everybody's going to go to YouTube to pull that up. But She said that actually his butt wasn't out in that in those pants. Now that would make sense because of his personality, like just kind of his religious thing that he would kind of be modest, but he had to, you know, we keep thinking of the early prince, the 17, 18-year-old prince. Like, so we'd have thought that that was kind of on point. But apparently he did not show anything. All right, I want to remind you, listen to Espreenet News. For everyone on the line, I want to say, you know, welcome and thanks for tuning in. If you want to come in, hit one on your line, on your phone, and I'll bring you in if you have any questions or comments about the show. You know, I don't recognize numbers anymore, so don't think that I went back and said, oh, I know who this is. There's a lot of similar area codes out there, so I can't. While I'm doing the news, I'm not going to have a chance to look it up. Now, genetically modified cows without horns are created by the University of California to improve safety and stop the practice of cutting off cow horns. So the new cows will have soft hair where their horns should be. Now, I don't know about this genetically modified food stuff, but something's wrong. But they actually make genetically modified cows now to stop them from having horns. It's kind of weird.
Why can't they have their horns?
They should have what?
I said, why can't they have their horns?
I guess people I don't know. They're saying stop the practice of cutting off cow horns. But people are sneaking up on cows.
Instead of stopping them from
cutting off their horns, they're like, you know what? Kathleen, see, this is what makes me suspicious in life. Like, I'm thinking, it don't make no sense. It's like, you know what? If somebody steals a slice of pizza, do you stop making pizza? You're like, we're not going to put cheese on this. Like, you. That really makes sense. I'm just asking. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but you don't. Okay, I'm just asking. You know, back in the days when people were stealing Air Jordans, I don't think they stopped making Jordans or iPhones or whatever.
That makes such things.
I'm just asking. It just seems kind of odd. Okay, wait, speaking of pizza, here's the thing. You know, Pizza Hut has revealed a bizarre pie tops, like sneakers, like instead of high tops, they're called pie tops. They will let you order a slice of pizza through your click on your ankles on your high top shoes. Now, the Texas-based pizza company has released 64 pair of pie tops, is what they call it, with a button for ordering pizza. So the shoes have a geolocation to connect with the owners, connect the owner or the person who has the shoes on with their closest Pizza Hut branch. That seems like a bit much, right? So I guess I'm wondering, do you have to go pick it up? if I'm just walking down the street and I hit the button, will a pizza find me? Like, I just want to know how that's going to work.
Probably. But I would think that you probably have to jog and go get it. So that way you don't get any weight or anything like that. You know, so it probably, you know, this whole two-fold thing. We'll do get your pizza and you won't lose any weight. And you won't get any weight.
See, I'm not liking that idea. That's just not.
That's
not working for me. Yeah.
No, I
hear you. No, that really is. That's not working for me. That's too much work. So let's just say it works like a smartphone, whereas you can order something and it already has your credit card information or whatever in there, and it pays for it, and you have to pick it up. It seems like, why don't you just go there and just pay for it there?
Doesn't you have to wait?
Huh. Okay, so they said they released 64 pairs of these sneakers, but if I have to buy the sneakers and then buy the pizza, I'm not gonna
yes.
pay nobody for those sneakers.
It's,
yeah, okay, yeah. They must be giving those away. That doesn't make sense. You know, if you want the convenience of ordering a pizza, and who's ordering pizzas like that? they need like a button like on Batman where they had the utility belt. I'm like, do I feel like Chipotle? I feel like going to Panera. Let me get a pizza. Yeah, we can have that on our belts. Let's work that part out. I think we already have smartphones. Yeah, I think we already have smartphones for that. All right, you know, this week in court, I haven't done some court news, but let's do some things that's in court. Now, New Jersey prosecutors will be liable. A federal judge has ruled for bringing up charges against a high school vice principal who failed to report a student teacher's sexual liaison. I didn't know you can do that, Kathleen. I mean, I know there's prosecutorial. I didn't think you can sue prosecutors like that, but they said they could be liable. That's what a federal court ruled. I don't know what he did. Yes. He's bringing up the prosecutor brought charges against the vice principal because he didn't report to the police that a student and a teacher had a relationship. And they probably suspended the student and fired a teacher or something, but they're prosecuting the vice principal for not telling him. And so a federal judge just ruled that they could be liable for doing that. I never like laws like that anyway.
Is this a black or white?
Maybe. I think this is definitely black or white. Yeah, we're going to have to start playing that game a little more often. Now, California's High Court extended public records law to personal devices. Now, text messages and emails about government business sent from officials' private phones are public records that people have the right to see, is what the California Supreme Court ruled today. So, again, if you have a personal device and you're doing government business, I was going to name the Christie, all those other people, but you would have had to throw a flag on me because I was about to name somebody in Chicago. But if you have a personal phone that is a government phone, you can the public records law will extend to those devices because you are doing business from those. Oh, that should be something for the Trump administration. Trump has not taken. When President Obama got in office, they made him give up his BlackBerry, and he had to take the camera off of it because of the tracking. Trump is still using his personal devices, and they keep worrying about leaks.
I know.
They're probably getting hacked all day. Now, last week, Attorney General Jeff Sessions signaled his strong support for a federal government's continuation of using private prisons, reversing the Obama administration's directive to phase out their use. And so stock prices of major private prison companies rose at that news. So, again, we're going back to private prisons that is going to keep people in jail for extended amount of times just because they need to make more money from the federal government.
I saw that. It's not with the federal government. It's for his friends and his boys and the stock market. You see the stock market doing it. All that stuff is good impacting
right.
the stock market. And all his friends own everything related to the prison industry. Remember
yeah.
that guy? Who was that guy that used to do The Price is Right? I forget his name.
Bob Barker.
He was one of the biggest as far as ownership in private prisons.
Did he really?
Yes.
Man.
Yes.
Bob Barker, the guy from the Humane Society? Neuter Your Pets?
Yes.
It is funny how people can care about pets,
that.
But their humanity sucks. Like, that's just the most interesting thing to me in the world. So now that you say that, anybody who I see who loves animals more than people, I'm going to have to start asking them some questions. Bob Barker, that was his pet project, right? So to speak.
Yeah.
That was his project. Spade and neuter. A federal judge on Wednesday blocked California from enforcing a law that restricts the publication of actors' ages, and they find that the law was blatantly unconstitutional. Now, I don't know how that internet movie database stuff works, but they passed a law that actors do not have to tell you their real age, and the court just overturned that. California had passed a law blocking people, restricted publications of people from publishing an actor's real age.
Uh-huh.
And so they just overturned it and said that, yes, you can publish their real age.
Okay.
Now, I think this works better for children, though, because you're still trying to protect them, even though in their movies they still, and because it's a job to them, so they have workers' rights. So I think that the problem is that people steal identities and stuff, age and birthday, and they publish all of that stuff when they're like, this actor was born here on this date at this hospital. They're trying to get them to stop publishing that information. It's not that you couldn't know what it is, but if the actor, contacts the website, they can ask them to take it down. So I guess
I think that's good.
Do you think that's good that they're blocking it or no?
I don't think you should be able to publish every daggone thing about everybody. Publish your own daggone age. What's the problem?
Get
out of here.
People are just mean and mean-spirited. That's all I can say about that. All right.
Just
now,
why not just publish your own age? Get out of here.
Man. Now, the Fourth Circuit Court ruled in favor of Maryland's ban on assault-styled weapons, overturning a panel decision last year that said that the ban placed a substantial burden on the right to bear arms. So they overturned it, and they have banned assault weapons in Maryland. So just wanted to make sure I put that out there. Not that anybody should have assault weapons, but it's now banned in Maryland. And Vatican officials prosecuting Guam's archbishop for allegedly sex abuse have moved their investigation from the territory of Guam to Hawaii and now to the U.S. mainland so that they can interview potential witnesses. Now, what happens when somebody has sex charges in the Catholic Church, they just move them all over the world. So apparently that guy moved to Guam, then he was in Hawaii, who knows where his victims are. So the Catholic Church, the Vatican, are letting them prosecute this guy. Finally, they're letting somebody get prosecuted.
Wow.
All right. Yep. Now, two University of Missouri students are arrested after taunting a Jewish classmate with anti-Semitic messages for months. So the university students, Eric Eastman, who's 18, and Nora B. Rogers, who's 19, see how I didn't care what their names were, are facing harassment charges after a Jewish student reported being the target of notes and comments for months, just harassing them. So I think these two need to go to jail. Just wanted to share that for the record. All right.
Yeah.
Now, BlackBerry's latest device has revived the physical keyboard. Now, I'm a BlackBerry fan. I have a new BlackBerry. It is new. I told somebody I had a BlackBerry, and they're like, "You still have a BlackBerry?" Just bought it about a year ago. It is actually new. They still make phones, people. Now, TCL Communications has unveiled the BlackBerry Key One at a Mobile World Congress in Barcelona, Spain this week. The device features a keyboard along with a touch screen display, and they hope to make the phone easier to use than the standard control phones. But it's still a smartphone, so it has a smartphone screen, but it has the keyboard. You know how you get those really small keyboards? I don't know how that's going to work, but the BlackBerry Key One is under a new brand license agreement signed with BlackBerry and TCL Communications. They are making the phone. So it's the first smartphone to provide a security fingerprint sensor built directly into the keyboard spacebar for added security. So the device runs an Android 7.1, giving users access to the entire Google Play Store and apps and all of that good stuff. And it still comes with the BlackBerry Hub. But this phone, by the way, the phone can reach 50% charge in 36 minutes. That is enough for me because I let my battery run down to the bone. It's like, oh, if I need to charge it. So in 36 minutes, you can get 50% of your charge. It's a quick charge. But this phone does cost $623. I'm going to wait for it to go on sale. But they're taking pre-orders just in case. What'd you say? What did you say?
Hello?
Oh, okay. Yeah, I just hung up. Yeah, I got like, All right. So, you know, before we get out of here, you know, all right. So you said you didn't see the Oscars.
I did not.
Okay.
I didn't watch it. And, you know, it's funny because Ronnie did call me. She did her duty and called me up and said, make sure you watch the Oscars. And I did not watch them. I did not. I had nothing because I knew what was going to happen, and it did.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't predict the La La Light thing. I didn't predict the La La Lighting. But I was pretty sure that it was going to be just a, a bait and switch, sucker punch, or whatever else.
Right.
And no. Viola won.
Yes, Viola won, and
and
the guy
great.
From Moonlighting won. Now, here's the thing. You know, I don't watch this stuff. I don't particularly care for it. I don't really buy into the culture that much. I have to say that. Hopefully, that doesn't get me deported. But here's the thing: I'm an American citizen. If you know, who does not like the Oscars? I don't want to hear that. I never watched the Oscars. So, the Oscars. There's this Jim, and first of all, Jimmy Kimmel. I really don't like his humor. I think he crosses the line too much. It's not crossing the line like Chris Rock crossing the line. Europeans sometimes can just be crass, and I think they mask them as jokes. I'm not going to even mention the OJ thing that he did. And it was like, oh, the crowd turned against me. Like, that is their kind of – that's kind of their go-to joke. But what happened is that they brought a bunch of tourists in. I don't know how they kind of made this happen. But, you know, the tourists came in, and this guy, the black guy, was leading the tourists, and this girl was behind him. This woman was behind him. And apparently they were fiancé. They were about to get married or something. So Jimmy Kimmel says to the guy who was taking pictures, and, you know, people like Meryl Streep and Jennifer Aniston, they were really nice to these folks as they were coming in, Halle Berry, all the black folks, Octavia Spencer, you know, was shaking their hands and probably nice. It was just their personalities probably. So what happened after they get to a certain point, Jimmy Kimmel says to the guy, you're ignoring all the white celebrities. He said something like, I know. Like, he didn't care. Like, he's in a room, he's looking for the black. He's like waving at Halle Berry kind of thing, like he's going through. So he asked his fiance something like, who's your favorite actress? And she pointed at Denzel. obviously. And so when he found out that they were engaged, he said, maybe Denzel will marry you. And Denzel comes out and hugs them both and said, you know, I pronounce you husband and wife, or kind of thing. And they were really nice, like, just generally. But the thing that I disagree with that, because on the back of a joke, Jimmy Kimmel, I don't think he liked the fact that black folks gravitate towards black folks. Like, it's just kind of how that works. So you can't really get mad at that when you randomly bring people in off the street and then you get mad that they're not worshiping the people who you're saying, hey, here's Casey Affleck. They're like, yeah, what up? Like, they just kept moving.
Whatever.
Yeah, pretty much. It was kind of like that. And then when they saw, like, I forgot who it was, and saw the look on the woman's face, and she was like, whoa, you know. He was like, oh, you're just happy to see, like, the black actors. But anyway, so it was interesting. I wanted to know if you saw that part of the show, because it just seemed kind of...
Oh, no.
It was kind of hokey. I just saw the rest of it in highlights, but that part I actually saw, and I kept thinking, all right, you know, Jimmy Fallon's about to get canceled. Jimmy Fallon. I'm sorry for calling him Jimmy Fallon. Jimmy Kimmel is about to... you know, do something inappropriate, and it's going to come back to bite them. But luckily,
then
he didn't.
And at the same time?
Is it what?
Then at the same guy, Jimmy Kimmel and Jimmy Fallon? I thought they were the same
no.
dude.
No, Jimmy Fallon has the Roots playing for him. You know, actually, I could have went for that, too, because you see how I kept interchanging them? Ever since Arsenio went off the air, I pretty much don't. No late night for me. And Colbert
exactly.
is beating them all in ratings, by the way. So we'll see how that works out.
On channel, did you see Trevor? I won this Trevor Noah kick. I watched Trevor Noah for the news because I figured, look, if I want to get it straight, I may as well watch him. So
yeah,
and
I think Jon Stewart is still producing that show. They're doing a great job for the Daily Show. Trevor Noah, I actually really like him.
Really
I can
great.
See, what'd you say?
No, I was just going to say he's come a long way, because at first, I saw his stand-up, right, before he got the Daily Show, and the stand-up was just incredible. I think I laughed so hard, and he's so crazy smart. He's a brilliant guy, and the diversity all of countries he's lived in and so forth, and his take on America was really pretty cool. But when he first started, I was a fan, and when he first started on The Daily Show, it was a rough start. You know, it really wasn't that good. But boy, as he found his footing, man!
And once he got his footing, he was just a whole nother... Because I think it's just an adjustment, because I did see his stand-up, and I thought he was pretty funny. But I remember Jon Stewart saying, you got to give this guy a chance. And he goes, he is brilliant. Because Jon Stewart, those guys are smart comedians, right? It's kind of like, what's his name? George Carlin.
Chris Rock?
But you know how smart George Carlin was?
He was
as a comedian? He was what?
He was like a genius.
Yes. So, you know, and Chris Rock does, like, he definitely thinks through his stuff. He's a smart comedian. And actually, Dave Chappelle does a really good job, too. Like, more than silly, he actually thinks through his setups. But to have that kind of genius in comedians, it's not like slapstick and telling mama jokes. Like, he is actually a really good comedian. So, yeah, Trevor Noah, I have a lot of respect for him. He's just, I don't know what to say about him. Now, you know, in our last story of the day, you know, there's a, this is always to guys' benefits, I have to say, while I'm at this. But, you know, this is a story from Hong Kong. Now, an ex-showbiz journalist, she's 38, she becomes the richest woman in Hong Kong after her property manager or property owner tycoon husband gave her $6 billion. Now, the 38-year-old is married to a 66-year-old who's the fourth largest man in Hong Kong. Now, she received a fortune.
Fourth largest man?
He is. He's the fourth richest.
Oh, okay.
Right? But he gave her $6 billion. So he gave her cash, homes, and shopping malls, that kind of stuff. $6 billion. Now, I'm thinking, if they're already married, it's pretty much hers, isn't it? I don't know the laws in Hong Kong, but technically, he wasn't getting it back. I just wanted to say that for record. Plus, he was 38, he's 66. I just wanted to say that for record. I don't know if he's trying to kind of keep her happy, but $6 billion is what she received.
Yeah, that'll do it.
Yeah. Let me see. What you want for Christmas, Kathleen?
That'll do it.
What you want for Christmas?
That'll do it.
$6 billion.
Wait, before you put on the music.
Okay.
Did you talk about Bo Biden and his brother and the Kathleen?
Oh, man, okay.
Did you talk about that?
No, I didn't. You know, I don't really do gossip, but we could talk about that. I actually know the story.
Is that gossip? It was on the news.
Well, you know, it is on the news. Okay, so Bo Biden.
That's news. That's
what'd
news,
you say?
That's
okay,
news.
Fine.
And it's news, and it's black or white, and it's West Virginia,
too. And it's West Virginia. Okay, so here we go. In case you haven't heard the news, former Vice President Joe Biden's son, Bo Biden, has separated. Are they divorced yet?
They are divorced, but I know they said they separated in 2015.
Oh, right. Okay.
Shortly
after what?
Shortly after the brother passed away.
Passed. Okay. So Bo Biden divorced his wife after his brother dies, and the widower, his brother's wife, and he got together, and they announced that the brother and his former sister-in-law are now in a relationship. And his wife, in her divorce papers, divorced him, and she's saying that he squandered money. I think she's saying that he had gambling stuff or whatever, drinking, whatever. He was just blowing through money. But don't know what to think about it, because I think that's kind of starting to get into hearsay, because I think I saw it on a tabloid side of news when I saw the story. And I know people are reporting the true part of that is that they're together. The vice president said that he's okay with it, and her family is saying that they're okay with it. And they also have kids. So your brother cousins are going to be a really closer-knit family than we actually thought they were. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to laugh at this. This Kathleen made me do this story.
Hey,
send your letters and your comments to Ask Kathleen per her network. Just go call Kathleen.
If you were able to do the sludge story from Mexico into the Santa Monica waters, I could do this, but it could bring up the fire.
Yeah, I start the show off with that, and you end it with this. Now I'm gonna have to find like a genetically modified mosquito or something. I'm gonna have to find another story to get that taste out of my mouth, because that is.
But I just wanted you to bring that story up because you just tell me that
don't even do it. I don't play hypotheticals. I know where you're going.
I just said if it was a black family, it would be a whole different ball game. That's what I said.
Yes.
You know, we could have played black or white on this one. Because that would have been a whole different ball game. We were like, what?
Oh, gosh.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah, I think how they're covering it is not a big deal. But it's why I
think. Why are they covering it? It's,
huh?
It's the underbelly of it. It's the underbelly of it. Because
right.
If you think about it, then why are they covering it? And then they went back and showed, this was the part that I really had a problem with. because this was like GMA this morning. When I was watching.
They covered it?
Yeah.
I'm surprised that they covered it. Okay.
I don't watch tabloid news and TMZ, you know. I really don't watch those. I watch GMA in the morning and. Yeah,
no, I thought it was tabloid, like Entertainment Tonight and Extra.
No.
Those are still tabloid. Okay.
No. Uh-uh. I'm talking,
okay.
I mean, the morning shows are becoming more like tabloid anyway, but no, it was on the morning news. It was on the Tom Joyner morning show, but that was really pretty funny. Anyway, but what they did on the news this morning was they showed, you know, they talked about it and they showed them together and they, you know, talked about Joe and Jill, you know, being fine with it and how happy they are that they were able to find love out of this very difficult situation and so on and so forth, right? But then they showed the clip of the brother-in-law at the brother's funeral giving the eulogy for the brother, giving a eulogizing his brother, and a good portion, the part of the speech that they showed was him speaking from the pulpit to the wife's kids, telling the wife's kids about how amazing their mother is. So if this was a little, you know, so you want to say, okay, so, so what are you guys doing right now? I mean, like, do you really think that we were all born this morning? That's the clip that you found. This is the story you're reporting. You're telling us it's all great, but you're showing us how it's, like, really not. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
How smart, you know what I mean? It just was like,
You know, again, this falls back into my cultural difference. These are cultural differences for us because that doesn't even make sense. But just like Trump looking at his daughter like he has no sense in his admiration of her is a little too much for us culturally. So I'm gonna chalk this under that file because I didn't see that. And, we'd have been talking. Because that just if you can't contain yourself at your brother's services, like there is, I'm not going to give my blessing for the relationship. I'm just going to tell you right now.
It was a little creepy.
Yeah, that's
when I watched it this morning. I'm sorry. I watched it this morning and I was on my way. You know, I was saying my prayers and I was on my way to work and I was like, oh, this is like. We're going back to the Bible days. Because when the husband of a wife died, brother had to step up and marry the wife. You know, that's how it was put out. I was like, okay.
I think I heard intro music on that. When you start going back to the Bible days. I'm just joking. You're like, wait. You are going back to the Bible on this one. This shouldn't have took you back to the Bible, Kathleen. That is just wrong on too many levels. So I am going to, you know.
I mean, I don't know. You're gonna have to tell me next show, but I thought that was justifying it. I was like, okay.
See, there you go. There you go trying to help them out. I already said I don't understand it. It doesn't make sense to me. But that was a nice shot. Cause,
Thank you.
I'm still gonna throw that into the defiling of your neighbor's wife kind of stuff like this in the adultery. You can't be looking at her. She's way too close and you can't just don't make me have to read the Bible for this one, but I'm gonna tell you this.
What house they're gonna live in, but you know.
Hey, you know, I don't know if the kids get along, but I'm just saying. That's good. That's just too weird. That's just so wrong. All right, so. All right, on that note.
I wish
them
well.
Wish them well. I'm not going to be sarcastic and wish them anything. It's just not what I'm going to do. So I'm just going to say, on that note, we could do a whole show on this. But anyway,
Did you hear what I said?
Go ahead. What?
I said I wish them well in a non-haunted house.
In a non-haunted house? Oh, yeah, because, you know, okay, I would stop the outro music on this. You know, see, that's what I would be worried about. Somebody's coming back. You know, I've heard black folks say that many a times. Like, if this happened, I'm coming back. If there's any way to come back, that would be it.
God forgive me.
I know. I think I'm joking, so I'm not really sure how much I'm joking, but I think I am. So, all right. On that note, peace and blessings to the Biden. Just wanted to say that as we end the show.
Amen.
With a little bit more meditative state. All right, and we will check in again with us next week. I'm a little stuck from that one. I don't know why I don't like it. Don't feel right.
I know.
Thank you, Kathleen.
I know.
Right.
You're welcome.
We will see you again next week. Thanks for tuning in to Esprit.net News. We'll be back 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Thursday. See you next week. Thanks, Kathleen.
Bye.
Kathleen's going to make our week in confession kind of something special. All right.